The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Runes, the 2018 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2018. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
Okay, well, good morning. I'm going to begin with prayer. And then we can get going and we can buckle up and do what we got to do. So thanks for coming. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless our time now. Thank you for these folks in attendance. I ask that you would give us a good time, a profitable discussion, that we would be encouraged all through this conference to do the tedious work and the fun work and the frustratingly joyful work of teaching and training your children, especially in the area of music. Help us now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, all for music, music for all. Come on in. There's plenty of room. We span almost two zip codes in the length of this Seabiscuit room. So we've got a nice amount of space. But I'm Jared Ritchie. I am the music teacher at Geneva Academy in Monroe, Louisiana, for I guess a few more weeks. But I teach K-4 through 12th grade there. We are a small school, 140 students. I guess that's relative, but we are about doing a lot of different things. I don't know if you attended Kent Young and Charlie Dower's session yesterday. I thought they did a nice job talking about the culture of music. Kent is a dear friend. Charlie is a dear friend. I've gotten to spend some time up in Spokane, tour their school, or listen to their school. Good morning. Did I forget to send you?
You sent it to me over email. I'll bring it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's okay. I mean,
I'll bring it.
They can take it as a parting gift. It could be a party favor on their way out.
I'll bring it and hand it out.
Oh, man. Gwen, you're the bee's knees. Okay. What was I saying? Yes, we'll have. I teach every student in the school 2 to 3 times a week. And the idea is, as coming to this conference for about 5 to 7 years, whatever the case may be, the idea is to take a survey of what's going on. And what I quickly found, as you probably have too, is that there is not a uniform, not that there has to be, but there's a broad range of what is being done in music in a classical school, because there's a broad range being done in just music education. And so we really started to search and to do, and what we've done at Geneva is move to something music literacy. This is the pictures of some of my students this past year. I see my students 2 to 3 times a week, 25 minutes, 35 minutes. It is a whirlwind. But the option was see them once or twice for a longer period of time, see them shorter, more frequently. And I subscribe to a thinking that music is similar in how you learn it to how you learn language, because it has a grammar, it has an oral component, it has a written component, right? And so you need to, if you can see it that way, the way you would learn language, you don't, you know, have 1 hour a day of French, skip 3 weeks, you know, or every other month. You wouldn't learn it. You need saturation in it. So we've elected to do that. We've also elected to get them to sing, read, and write. If you are literate in the English language, I mean, you have people that can speak but can't read and write, very few and far between these days in America for sure. But to be literate, you need all three. And so once that became apparent to me, we've got to structure our instruction in such a way that we can accomplish that. Clunky as it is at times and frustrating, you know, and so we've kind of gone about doing that. So the other thing is, I am a big proponent, you're going to hear a lot of things from me today, it's going to be quick and fast-paced, I'm a big proponent of doing music and not just knowing about it. Doing music, not knowing about it. And that you'll hear me say that over and over again. And the idea is, what you know, you're able to do, right? And so we want them to be tuneful singers. This was I'll play you a little clip of my first grade. This is my first grade from last year. This video was taken, no, it's first grade from a year ago. But this video was taken right after my wife had a baby and our son was in the NICU. And so first day back, I had an aide and she videoed this. And we just sang our morning greetings. But I thought, give you a little idea of first grade tuneful singing.
Hello, boys. sing from my hands. You sing.
All right. Well, you heard a little feedback there. That wasn't part of the tuneful singing. But they did body signs. How many of you are familiar with the body signs? Yes, they're very helpful. I use body signs in the elementary years in kindergarten, pre-K, first grade. The body signs are similar to the Kerwin hand signs. John Kerwin was a music educator, but more importantly, he was a Baptist. Well, he was an English pastor, right? Probably an Anglican, if I recall. But do is here, and mine may vary from yours. Do here, which is the do hand sign, but at the waist, which has a concrete placement. Do and re, you would do in the hand sign, crossed here. Some people do this way, but you may seem Eastern Orthodox if you do this. But so re, mi, and then fa, but we don't do a lot of fa on there. No. Yeah. So, right, la, ti, and do. They don't have as much concrete, but so and mi has a concrete placement. So, mi, la, rather than so, mi, la, so, mi, you know, kindergartners really get confused with that. So this was them, and we sing, and they did that of their own doing. That was not something I asked of them. They are able to decode, right? They're able to go, hello, Mr. Ritchie, or hello, Mr. Ritchie, to use the pitch that they used. But we try to get them singing all over the school. I'm in a very good utopian society where we just are musical school. And it was that way before I got there. It wasn't Jared showed up and then the place started singing. It was Jared showed up and the place started singing maybe a few things that are a little weirder at first. Maybe singing with a little bit more nerd and focus on doing this and that. But this is us singing Dr. Erb. You saw him this morning with the National Honor Choir. Pre-K. Microphone. Was not an elective, right? But the pre-K, they're enthusiastic. But this is going to be a problem. That's what I get for tinkering with the sound, I know. But the idea is that everyone sings, right? That you are not given the all right, we'll get a few folks to sing. But what you didn't hear in those pre-K students is you didn't hear yelling, right? You didn't. They're tuneful in their own way. They're excited. They're able to do this and to do that. But I wanted to go over a few things of my bent in case I forget to say it, in case you're like, this guy's like some sort of albino alligator. You know, I've seen those around, but he's kind of all over the place. What I'm going to, you know, full disclosure, is I'm all about music literacy. And I take that. It's got to define terms, obviously, in our world. But music literacy to mean where students are taught to read, write, and sing or think music. Some people would say audiate or inner hearing. So if I did this song for you with my hand signs, I did this last year in Pittsburgh. If those of you are in there, just give others a second, and then you can jump in and save the day. But if I did this. You know what song I just showed you? Dvorak, Going Home, the folk song. Going Home, Dvorak. Yes. Did you need to hear that? You heard it in your head, right? You read those words up there. You didn't have to go, recovering music literacy. Oh, I see. You read it in your head. You need to be able to do that in music. It's called inner hearing. And we need to get students to do that. And that's what I mean when I say think or sing in music. Literacy and language help for advocacy. If you're going to teach music as a language, you've got to do it in such a way that they can, that you can speak with people in something that they're comfortable with. You know, they don't know about music, they don't know about the special brand of weird that we are, or that we want to have. So you need to be able to say, all right, how do you teach language? Well, how did you learn English? Well, you sat in a classroom, it's your parents, at age 8 months, and they said, today, Junior, we are going to talk about past participles. No, they read to you. They spoke to you. I'm going back to my Bushism. For those of you who came in late, I was lamenting the Seabiscuit Ranger room we have here. I was secretly hoping I could be in the Bush room so I could go, hello, America, welcome. You know, but anyway, it is what it is. So, but I still got it in there, so all is not lost. But how did you, like I said, how did you learn language? You learned it because you heard it first. You didn't know you heard it, right? You hear, then you do, then you understand. We're like, no, man. That's deep. I got to understand it first. That's a modern idea. It's a modern, dangerous, backwards idea, and you can find it all over education. But when we learn about music, we need to attach ourselves to the language idea. So you learn language because you heard your name thousands of times. Mom and Dad said it. Then you said it hundreds, thousands of times. Then you saw it written down in school. Very nice and legible, hopefully, by your teacher. Maybe 100 times, maybe 20 times, maybe 50 times. Then you wrote it. That's the progression. We want to go, no, I need to understand it first. But that's not how we do it. We're like, we need to tell them about Bach in first grade. We need to let them listen to the great music of the church and the great music of history. All good things, right? But not cutting with the grain of little ones. You know, if I were to go in there, today we're going to talk about Dvorak and his trip to the New World. They would go, Mr. Ritchie, I have 14 pennies in my wallet at home, right? And I would go, that's so nice. Back to Dvorak, right? It won't work. Rather, we need them to be doing and singing. And the language metaphor helped change my thinking on that. It's helped me talk and encourage people. And I would give it to you free of charge. Take it back to your boards. Take it to your colleagues and say, this is what we're after. It is a language. It has all the components of a language, and we need to teach it as such. And we will find greater traction, greater ability and encouragement if we do that. The other thing is Kodai. It's pronounced Kodai. It's not Kodali. It's not Kodai. It's not Japanese. Okay? It's Kodai. It's like code and I. Stress on the first syllable, right? We don't do that in English. You know, we don't put the stress on the down. We put it on the ah. But not in Hungarian. Zoltán Kodai was a Hungarian composer and music educator. And this methodology, I thought this way, and some of you may think this way. You don't have to write your name on a card and say that you thought this way. There's no confession here, music confession. But Kodai is more than solfège, hand signs, and syllables. That's like saying, oh, yes, I'm a choral conductor. I bought a Mahler baton, and I can do floor, window, wall, ceiling. You know, that's not what conducting is. Gross oversimplification. And Kodai did not invent the Kerwin hand signs. Otherwise, they would be the Kodai hand signs. He did not invent, as you well know, the solfège syllables, the Latin names that we, you know, the ut, re, mi, and which eventually became do, re, mi, fa. That's not his. But Kodai philosophy and education sees a good tools and go, ah, yes, this we need, right? That we need. And it picks up on that. And that's what the Kodai philosophy is. So I'm a Kodai teacher, but I'm not like, you know, it's Kodai or bust. We want to be able to acquiesce around principles. My wife and I are always discussing that. She's in the room, so she will laugh the least at my jokes because she's heard them all. And that's the one joke I'll get a good laugh at. But it's more than hand signs and solfège syllables. And as I said earlier, music education in the classical school should be about doing music and not knowing about it. And for reasons we've said already. And then sound to symbol. That's a helpful distinction. Right? Sound to symbol, which is another way of saying doing, you know, hearing, then doing, then understanding. That's the progression. Hear first, hear your name, do, say, then understand. Hear the song, sing the song, then understand. Whether it's, you know, this, that, or whatever song the case may be. Hearing and then doing. Sound to symbol, you know. So if those of you who are English and elementary teachers as well, this is, lines up very nicely with the Spalding method of phonics. Think of it as we're doing the phonics of music, the solfège syllables. We're using movable do, right? And la bass minor. Because why would we want to die on altered syllables? Re, fi, mi, ti, si, li, you know? And why would we want to keep do as si all the time? That's so boring. I want to move around, you know. I also want to teach it as a language. Well, Do is home. And so is the Samwise Gamgee to the Do, Frodo, right? Whatever you need to do, tell it as a story. Where is it going? The story is going somewhere. Is it a dark story? Oh, yes. The cousin Law. He's not as good. It's a different last name, but he has the same family. Same key signature, you know, we'd say, we don't say that in there. But this is how you tell them. You bring them along in this story. And so it's sound to symbol, and it's a bunch of that. But hearing, doing, and then understanding, that's really my way of, if you're understanding, I'm not very passionate about this subject, but I enjoy it, talking about it. So hopefully you won't be bored. You might be like, that guy didn't need that second espresso shot. But hopefully you won't, you know, we can live with that. What you see here is the sound to symbol. We move from icon notation to the staff, right? I mean, we're just all over the place. I was you. I was doing this. We all have done. You do what you've been taught until taught otherwise. Tom Garfield, you know, Tom Garfield, wonderful educator in the ACCS, Logos administrator for years, dear friend. Teachers teach as they've been taught unless taught otherwise, for good or for ill, right? And so it took me a while. I mean, I came out of college. What was the last thing you did in college? This is a quarter note. This is a Neapolitan six chord. This is a lovely resolution with a secondary dominant, with a half cadence, without that goofy accent, of course. But this is how children learn. Rain, rain, go away. Umbrella, umbrella. Icon, right? Heartbeat. Then we put so me on the staff. Then we use the hand signs or body signs. Then we can write it this way. Then we can use stick notation. Because we don't need to bubble in the note heads in first and second grade. We'll never get through the lesson. Mine's too big. Yeah. Oh, brother. Okay, and then we put it on the staff. But what do you see not present on my staff here? What do you not see in any of these, even though they're registering very faint? There's no key signature, right? There's no clef sign. There's no treble clef. There's no C clef, no bass clef. That's on purpose. Your kids in first grade don't need to know that the third line treble clef is a B. Look, Mom, your kids know every good boy does fine. Or in the bass clef, grizzly bears don't fly airplanes. They don't have to know that. What they need to know is same different. And that's the beauty of the Kodai philosophy, because you can see so me, so me. You have an aural prep, you have a physical prep, and a visual prep for them. And this is what Kodai is. It's using the voice. Oh, I can't believe. Shame on you. It is. You don't need to wheel in a bunch of ORF instruments. You don't need to bring in, which I love, and glockenspiels. I have them. I use them. I don't need to get everybody and his mom a recorder, even though I have recorders, but we don't give them to those young ones. They just, it gets stuck in ears and all kinds of things. And it's, and I'm tempted to think sinful thoughts. I do use the recorder, but it needs to be a rhetorical activity, not a lose staff colleague friendships activity. So what we need them to be able to do is see same different. I need them to be able to read on the staff. I don't need them to know that it's a treble clef in first grade. I need them to know this is so me, right? Sing from my hand staff. And you know what? I need the voice. Right? I don't need dry erase boards. I say, you know, God has given you five lines in staff. You know, you have two staves there. So here's, Mr. Ritchie's going to give you a Do clef, and this is where Do is. So do you see where my Do is? Would you sing this for me? Can you sing for me here? You all look so lovely this morning. You must have really eaten your Wheaties before you get. What's Wheaties, Mr. Ritchie? We'll talk about that later. All right, here we go. So here's Do, sing with me, please. What you see, I will touch. Watch carefully. All right, let's put our boards away. Oh, hand me those socks, those erasers, those dry erase markers. Let's stack those up. Crack. Oh, Mr. Ritchie, he dropped it on my toe. No. Done. We go with it. And they're singing on staff notation. This is a G. You need to know that. It's a treble clef. It's a G clef. A bass clef is an F clef. No. That comes later, third grade. You say, third grade? Yes, but you can sing so mi la. You can sing full pentatone. You can sing fa and ti, lo la. You can do body signs. You can do all that. It's there. There's a sequence. And you don't have to do what we did in college. You don't walk out of the college classroom, music methods. Okay, give me, it's like walking, in the South here, we have Piccadilly. You know, growing up, oh, I would love the blue jello at Piccadilly when I was a kid. But you just go, okay, yes, I'll give me a little bit of Kodai. Okay, I'll take a little Edwin Gordon, little Kinder music. Oh, I love some Orff. Yes, I've got a budget this year. I've got to spend it. Give me some of those. You know, good. That's what music education is. But Chesterton is famous for saying, open mind is like an open mouth. It's supposed to close on something, right? And not just, what do we have today? I think we'll folk dance. I think we'll sing. I think we'll write. I think we'll get out the boomwhackers. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of tools out there, but we got to go somewhere. And I have found this to be the most encouraging for me. And I hope it would be for you. In the Kodai philosophy, some of you have done Takademi, some of you have done music learning theory with Edwin Gordon. And so you know that there's a way to count. Remember we said phonics of music. If you can phoneticize the music that you read, with do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, and do, re, re, mi, fa, fi, sol, la, li, ti, you know, do, ti, te, la, le, sol, se, you know, all that you can do, what can you do for the rhythm? Well, there's a phonics for the rhythm. Why would you need that? I can just go one e and a two e and a three e and a four. Mm-mm. Sound it out. All right, first graders, can you say one e and a two e and a three e and a four? Is 1 + 2 3 or 7? Can they go one ianda, two ianda? No. They can go, you know, ta, ta, ti, ti, ta, right? Or they can go tika, 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 tika. Not in first grade, maybe. They might. You say, did you just say ta, ta, ti, ti, ta? Yeah, it takes a few days. But you're fine, right? But then they can see ta, 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 ti, ti, or tika, 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 right? You're giving them a way to phoneticize it. You read it that way. Ti, tika, tika, ti, cinco, pa, or triple ti, or triple la. I've heard it triola. There's variations on this. Tum, ta, wow, you know, and doing this musically. But this is the sound to symbol we talk about. So if you've never seen this before, I encourage you to look this up. These are some music resources. We don't have this at the booth, but we do have these two. Whoever makes the mad dash there's a few copies of these. We'll sing a few of each of these exercises because this has been helpful for my middle school. Like I said, I teach K-4 through 12, and I see them 2 to 3 times a week. And so I don't have ninth graders who have had me from this tall. We're getting there, but the ones that have, they can sing, they can read, right? You read by fourth or fifth grade. Imagine a time where our students can read, maybe with some clumsiness, maybe with some frustration, but anything we put in front of them with coaching. Just like there's a time when your children can read from a primer and then read just the menu at Applebee's and read from the billboard on the road, like, never you mind that one, you know? They can sound it out. Well, imagine the musical equivalent of that. Well, if you teach music with instruction and purpose and the Lord blesses it and you don't pass out and die, they are going to be able to get to a place that they can read whatever you get. But in the interim, we've got to do some stopgap work, some backfill. And these resources I give to you are wonderful. Denise Bacon here in the middle is one of my favorites. But we'll read this classical canons. And guess what? You said, you, Mr. Mantra Man, you said do, don't tell about. Preach and, you know, do and go and do likewise. So that's what I've got for you. I've got La Sol Mi Do. Let's sing together. I would like you to sing it on Sol Fa, if you can. This is in Do. This is from that. We'll sing it unison. And just if you can't sing it on Sol Fa, you say, I don't know that stuff. I learned on numbers. Or I just learned on this or that. It's okay. Make a sound. It's fine. No one's going around, I think half the room did that on numbers. No one's going to be reporting to me. And I'm sure I'm not going to go back and go, I think they didn't do it all in solfege. Mission failed. All right, let's sing it. La, sol, mi, do. So it's beat, beat, here we read. Do, do, re. Do, mi, mi, fa, fa, sol. Fa, mi, at 3. Do, ti, do, ti, do, 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 ti, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do, 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 soul, fa. Here we go. Yes, wonderful. Yes, and of course, a good choral director on the front row, holding it for four beats. Excellent. Daniel, I've got to meet Daniel. He's a great guy. But what you see here is an exercise that I give my 9th and 10th graders, and I say, all right, let's learn. I need you to be able to sing this for me, and I'll go down the measure, and I'll say, all right, you get measure one, you get measure two. Friday, I need you to sing this. They have this book, but I've done this where I give them the canons. There's no words here. You say, why would we sing in canons? Well, because there's no harmony extra parts. There's no multiple clefs to get confused. We just read one part, and when you have mastery of the single part, then you can come back and go ahead and sing it staggered. With confidence, they go, I can start at my own time. Do, do, re, mi, re, do, re, do, do, re, mi. And they get it, and then they go. Or if they have trouble, I can just say, you know what? I know you were sick last week, so just sing the first part two for me over and over again in an ostinato. Oh, thank you, Mr. Ritchie. I was not prepared. I didn't get the assignment down. I'm so sorry. I wish that's what they said. But usually, I say, all right, yeah, just do that there so that they don't arrest me. All right. So that's what I, do the work. But anyway, that's the 9th graders and 10th graders. But then I'll say, okay, now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Please, on Friday, I want you to stand and sing that in front of the class. Okay. And you talk about wonderful, because then they have to practice together. And down the halls of the schools, touching on Kent's talk yesterday, you hear this lovely canon, or others like it, shorter ones like it. Let's sing it. Would you just pick a part? You say, pick a part. You said it's all one part. Find a number and start there. All right? If you want to start on one, here's do. If you want to start on two, it's me. If you want to start on three, it's do. If you want to start on four, you same on hi, do, do. If you want to go to five, it's sol. And then if you really want to be extra bonus points, mi, hi, mi. All right? And you can sing at the number you choose and keep going, or you can just sing your number. Oh, that'd be so much less confusing. Either way, it'll still be beautiful. Ready? Here we go. Do, do, re, mi. So for me, do, ti, do, ti, do, 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 ti, la, so for me, re, do. Wow. And you say, I've got a concert to prepare for. I can't give up my choir time to do this. Why not? Get a cellist. Get a pianist. Get your choir. Have them walk in while they process into your hall singing this, your 5th grade choir, because you've spent your time trying to teach them music, right? The famous thing I beat in the dead horse I beat is, we don't teach 3rd graders Shakespeare's Hamlet, right? But how would you teach that to the kids? Well, you would have to go, to be or not to be, that is the question. To be or not to be, that is the question. Okay, repeat that again and you'll have it. And we'll be here 3 weeks. But that's what we do in choral singing, right? We get behind the piano, three-headed monster. Ding, ding, here's your part. Okay, stop, put that down. Don't put that pencil in his ear. Let's go, right? And we have to rote teach it to them. And what have they done? What have you heard parents say? I sang choir, and it was so much fun. I enjoyed it, but I just don't read music very well. Right? Oh, and we are so equipped to be able to do differently if we can let go of what we did. Remember, teachers teach as they've been taught until taught otherwise. And so what you can do for this is, you don't have to give up your concert, but you don't have to get the latest and greatest, air quotes, J.W. Pepper score and sing it, or band octavo. You can go and get this and sing on an assembly. And this is something you did in class. I call it an informance, not a performance, an informance. You're helping train the parents in what you're doing. Get your 1st graders up and have them read what we're about to do next, which is more elementary driven. So that's one. We're going to skip this, la, mi, this is fun. This is a good Johann Staden one, but this is in there, but for the sake of time, you get the idea. All right, this is from the Denise Bacon two parts. I think I've brought this out here before. But let's go down here to 27. You say, whoa, 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 no staff here, man. What's going on here? Symbols, icons. We don't need all of that all the time. So what we've got here is, if you can read it, I'm sorry if it's fuzzy and you are back there in East Louisiana. But we'll do our best here. So I'll hand sign. If you can see my hand signs, maybe we'll, between that, we'll have some sort of triangulation. All right, so beat. Well, I'm actually going to pitch this differently. Mi, re, do. We're going to put this in F, do. Ready? Beat, beat. Here we go. Do, re, mi, sol, mi, re, mi, la, sol. Sol, la, mi, sol, mi, re, do. Would you sing that again, please? Ready, go.
Do, re, mi, sol, mi, re,
mi, re, do, re, mi, sol, re, mi, re, sol, sol, do. I did sing with you. What did I do? I get down to the next part, independent singing. I got, if I feel that you're ready, I jump down there. What have I done? Put that on an informance. Put that on an assembly. Put that up there and let them sing that. Mom and Dad don't know. I think she cheated there. They don't know that. They know that was tuneful. That was beautiful. And you didn't have to just bend over backwards to program, and you're just saying to be or not to be. Get out there, you know. That's what it feels like. I love concerts. I'm a choral director by training. That's what we do. But we don't give up literacy. Otherwise, it's just a farce, right, in reality. And we do this in private instruction, too, don't we? What do you often hear and see? You have button pushers, right? People that say, oh, yeah, I took piano for so-and-so years, but I don't read music. That doesn't have to be the case. Thanks be to God, there's plenty of faithful teachers out there that no one ever pays mind to, that you don't know that these people are very talented musicians, and they've understood how to give and to take those breadcrumbs to literacy through the applied studio. That's great. But there is a precedent for not doing that, for missing, you know, the forest for the trees, the big picture of giving literacy to children, whether it's in a classroom general music. So this is a great tool for you. As I said here, all for music, music for all, that we can use these tools. The 333 book that I use is a wonderful, this is Kodai's 333 reading exercise. This book and the Denise Bacon book are at the New St. Andrews College booth. That's where you'll find me. I'd love to visit with you. That's not a nicety. I've spoken with some of you already. I'd love to talk shop, love to see what you're doing, love to hear from you. It's like I said at the beginning, albino alligators in Florida and South Louisiana, where I'm from. I'm not from South Louisiana. I would speak more like this down here, you know. But I'm, I can turn it on and off. But in Louisiana, if you see albino alligators, you see them, right? You just don't usually see 2 and 3 and 16 and 36 of them all together. But Kodai music educators, or serious music educators, people that are giving up a week of their summer in the wonderfully cool climate of Dallas, Texas, to come and study and build, and or board members or faculty saying, we need this in my school. I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. I don't even know what to ask for. Oh, this person does choir. Can you help me here? I need these kids to be musical. We get that all the time. And I'm hoping we can talk, have some talking points and guide the discussion. Because I think we have so many tools out there, it's hard to know which ones to pare down on and which ones to use partially and which ones to say, that has had a time. We may not focus on those yet. So we won't read this because we don't have a lot of time, but what I would do in the class is they would do do, re, mi, re, do, re, you know, and read it through, and I would go down the line. You see there's threes there. They would have to go down one measure down or three measures down. Anytime there's a repeat, they have to repeat that. Or when they're good, 7th, 8th graders, 9th graders, 10th graders, okay, step to the piano. It's going to be on F do. Oh, Mr. Ritchie, I don't take piano. That's okay, it's a quiet hand, you'll be fine. They have to sing, and they have to play two measures behind them. What? You know? I'm helping you. I'm giving you the music training. And I'm helping them to be able to look at a piece of music that's in three-dimensional, right? Okay, a piece of music on a staff, that's why I hope I'm not stepping on toes. At least if I do, I hope it doesn't hurt. if you have words on a screen, right, in a house of worship, and no music, you're missing music, words, and lyrics. Forget the quality of whatever it is. Just set that aside. But at least if I see music, I have a three-dimensional rendering of something. I see line, I see rhythm, I see the word, rhythm, and the text together, you know, in a Trinitarian way, instead of just the text, very Unitarian, my words, you know, right? And at least on the Disney sing-alongs, it would have the bouncing ball so we know when to go foul. But I mean, at least give us something. Dual something, but you don't even have that. Well, this is what they need. They need to be reading this way, and we can take it off the staff for a time. Just, it takes away something from them to be frustrated from. So why do I sing play with them, where they have to read this and sing and then play? It's because I need them to be able to read multiple things at once. Not just left hand, right hand. I need them to be able to read that score in Latin and read the way, the contour of the line, and think the solfege syllables. And still be able to go, oh yeah, mezzo de voce there, that's right, articulation there, ooh, the conductor. Heaven forbid we don't look at the conductor, you know, I mean, you know. So we need to be able to juggle all that, and this is a way to sequence and bring students to that. It's frustrating, y'all. This is not some utopian thing, and this is not something I have all figured out, but at the very least, they can write on my tombstone, he died trying. He didn't die talking about trying, he died trying. His sleeves were rolled up, his jokes, his puns, his metaphors were mixed, but he died trying, right? So this is another version of that in that same book. It does go to the staff, the 333 exercises. I have this book. These are, so this is the Denise Bacon. You'll see it at the New St. Andrews table. This is the 333. I use this in middle school. I don't give them to the students. I just copy them as I need. This one I make them buy in seventh grade. They have to buy a tuning fork. What do you not see in here? There's no piano in here. There's no wonderfully, you know, modeling of a pitch pipe, you know. All right, let's make some tuneful, beautiful singing with a, you know. No, let's use a tuning fork and go, here's an A, here's a musical compass. Me as the teacher, take that note in and go, okay, I don't want to start them on A if they hear that. That's going to be too high. I'm going to use that A and call it me because I need to be an F do, right? We've done that. I get to make that choice without them, or I'm getting out of F do in this song, and I'm going to start an ostinato to go to the next song. Okay, all right. So this is what we do there. These two books are great. Let me just check our time here. Oh yeah, we're doing all right. So once again, the classical canons. I thought we brought some with us from New St. Andrews, but they did not. I think they sold out. But this is, you can find this on West Music. If a lot of these resources are there, West Music. I think it's westmusic.com. You probably know that resource and have used it or come across it. Okay, I'm going to skip forward. Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. I want to show you something. 4 minutes. I'm going to rest my voice. I want you to see a Kodai classroom demonstrated in review.
Key elements of Zoltan Kodai's concept of music education can best be summarized while looking back through the grade levels. Since everyone has a singing voice, Kodai believed that music education must therefore be based on singing. Musical literacy should be the norm for everyone. Therefore, singing is the basis of the entire method. All aspects of musicianship are taught through the use of the human voice. Folk song material is at the core of developing music appreciation and musical literacy. Kodai maintained that folk songs provide the best musical material for instruction of young children. American folk songs, as well as those of other countries, are the principal musical material. These songs are the most natural bridge to classical music, which is studied from the beginning. Through research, Kodai learned that small children cannot accurately hear or reproduce half steps. The pentatonic system proved to be the most accessible for in-tune singing because of the absence of semitones. Once grounded in pentatone, children can then more easily understand and more accurately reproduce half steps in diatonic scales.
That song.
A variety of tools and techniques is used in the teaching to aid in the instruction.
Thank you. Now let's sing.
Rhythmic movements of clapping, stepping, and tapping are elements which were derived from the French music educator Dalcroze. Rhythm syllables were also borrowed from another French system. Singing and sight reading are made easy through the use of relative solmization. Using a movable do clef, successions of syllables are easier to sing and are more ably recognized than letter names. Nonetheless, absolute pitch names within all major and minor keys are studied extensively. By the fourth grade in the United States, solmization and absolute pitch names are used interchangeably. The hand signals of the 19th century English music educator John Kirwan were adapted for this method. These signals provide a feeling of security, particularly for uncertain singers. Creativity is stressed from the very first days in school. Simple echo exercises and call and response games encourage creativity. Question and answer form is begun in the first grade and is developed successively through the levels. Larger musical forms are studied in the upper grades.
La, ti, do, re, mi, la, mi, fa, la, si, la.
Kodály felt every society needs well-rounded people. To this end, music and the arts must be taught on an equal basis with mathematics, language, and the sciences. In addition to providing children with much musical knowledge and love for good music, the Kodály method reinforces reading and writing skills, the social studies, and assists in developing physical coordination. We are the heirs of a vision. Using the folk songs that are native to any culture, Kodály endowed us with a concept that will enrich our children's lives. We can teach them a love for music of enduring quality and worth. This gift will enable them to pass on the heritage to future generations.
And that is from a documentary called The Kodály Concept in America, that the teacher in that was in Los Angeles at St. James Episcopal Church and School back in the 90s, I believe, maybe the 80s. Tragically, John David Falconer, who you didn't really hear, that was not the narrator, but he was killed in a random act of violence in a convenience store, shot and killed by someone who came in there. But what a remarkable music teacher, and there's no gimmicks there, right? You notice that? There's no Kodály gimmicks. There's no iPads for everybody. There's no, what are they doing? They're singing, they're reading, they're at desks. My students don't get to sit behind desks, so it's more of a three-ring circus because it's a lot harder to spring up and go forth. Spring up, oh well. No, it's circle on the floor. The reason we have this here, we'll do a little folk dancing, but I want to encourage you. Every methodology can be abused. There are the Kodály philosophy sometimes is wrongly, I think, pigeonholed as just a lot of so-me songs and play. But children learn through play. But you don't stay in the folk songs. If you follow the sequence, you grow and you go somewhere. The buzzword, you heard me say, a lot of the buzzwords are folk song to masterwork, right? If you get to literacy, fifth or sixth grade, then you can read. Then you can go. Then you can get back to your choral singing. If you spend the time, and what we did at Geneva is, like I said, I'm a choral director by training. That's what I did. We had our Schola Cantorum. We had three choirs in the school. And I went to our headmaster thinking, I am just rending my garments here. I think we have to give up our choir during the school day. And he said, well, all right, tell me more. And I said, it seems like we're handing them all of the apples that have not been, you know, grown by them, and we're just shining them and say, hold this up, mom and dad are going to get a Facebook video, go, right? Rather than planting seeds and watering them. And I thought, but no one's going to, it's not going to be as polished of a performance, and we're not going to be able to do the Britain this, or, you know, the handle that, or, you know, it's all right. But we are slowly starting to see that return, so that if they have been singing tunefully, voice exploration in pre-K, playing of games. By the time they're in fifth and sixth grade, they love to sing. They want to sing. You can take the great masterworks with them. Did you have a question? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A couple questions. One is, how do you feel about you just have made mention regarding the games, like you have to be careful, because you want to err on the side of too many games and then not enough substance. Is that
right.
How you're feeling?
Yes, I mean, but I will tell you this. I think more often than not, especially given my personality, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to err on that side. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Number two, we go to Geneva School. Were you part of Geneva in Manhattan, New York?
No, Geneva Academy, which we're just small. No one's ever heard of us in North Louisiana. I know one of the music teachers at Geneva School. She's related to my wife by marriage. But Kaisa Wilkins, yeah. Yeah.
To get certified, it was really fabulous. It was a great year for Chesapeake. But we just started Fairfax, the school, and we didn't do it. We had a National Philharmonic violinist as our music teacher, and she was great. But we started violin for everything and for all this, the classes in grammar school. And I would say, even though the K-4s, K-5s were learning, I could see it was too much.
Right. See, watch this. You must have looked at my PowerPoint. We teach similar. If you say the Kodai instruction is typically 3 summers, if you say, how do I do all this, Jared? First of all, I also teach English, and I don't know, how do I get it done? If you need to do something that you say, I need these tools, this is not how I teach, I thought the Kodai was the hand signs and some syllables and some so me songs and games. I thought that's what it was. I mean, I'm afraid to say that out loud, but that's what I thought. Well, I did too. And I went and spent the most 2 weeks of the most exhaustingly good time I've ever had, both learning the sequence of how to teach children in a sequence. So we teach so me songs, right? And then la, and then we teach so me, la, and then do, right? And then there's a sound between do and mi. What sound is it? It's re. And then that's the pentatone, right? Then we teach high do. Do, re, mi, sol, la, do. You know, how firm a foundation and all that. We'll sing here in the conference. It's a pentatonic song. Like he said, the semitones, the half steps are gone. Well, you get to learn how to teach in the sequence. You get to learn the games. And you know, your favorite teacher was not somebody, you don't remember that person's textbook of choice, do you? You remember that person because you are the curriculum. So you need to go study with a master teacher. You need to go get that instruction for yourself, because a physician doesn't just read the PDR, the desk reference, and say, all right, I'm ready. I hope we can definitely get that hernia taken care of for you. No, what they do is they go apprentice, they residence with someone. And the Kodai instruction does that all over the country. James Madison, which you referenced, and other places. There are about 20 or 30 American Kodai courses. They're typically divided into levels 1, 2, and 3. Some places do 4, where you take 2 weeks or 3 weeks, depending on the school, and you stay there and you work. Level 1 summer, level 2 that summer, or if you need to take a summer off, the next summer, level 3. And at the end of the 3 years, you are certified. Your ability to work as a choral conductor, as an instrumentalist, as a general music teacher, as someone who's just working with the kids God gave you, and 6 sopranos, 1 tenor, 1 cumbiata, one know-it-all alto, and this is what you've got. How do you bring them along, right? Well, Kodai training can do that. And this is a particular one. I teach at this course. This is our first class last year, the Chenanaya Summer Music Institute. If the handout is out there when you leave, Chenanaya was the chief musician of the Levites in the Old Testament. He was the guy that led, and that's, you need to lead skillfully. We need to be equipped for that. We teach how we've been taught until taught otherwise. And the Kodai philosophy, the Suzuki has some similar sound to symbol, is great. Orff is great in the sense that they're trying to work the pentatone and they're using, but guess what? You may not have the budget for the instruments. And guess what? You can't pack the instruments up and go into a cave like you heard Kent Young say, all right, let's get all of our Orff instruments. You know this in band, Just getting the tubas packed in the bus is just a feat in and of itself, right? And then the tuba players that can carry those said instruments. But you don't need that with the voice, right? Teach them to sing, make music with the voice, be musical between the ears by doing. Then the mechanics can come later. I tell people, I had a girl one time who did Rain, Rain, Go Away, and she said it fits with Heart and Soul. She played it and sang it. The creativity, now my affinity for Heart and Soul, but the fact that she put that together was just really refreshing to me. Or I've had students who've taken up the violin. They can read on the staff. They know the absolute pitch names. We read them. We don't just stay on do clef and just say do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. We go somewhere with that. And if you feel like, hey, you know what, I've been tasked with this, or you're a board member and you need some way to appoint your teachers, you know, just because you have a choir director, I'm one, or a band director, does not mean music literacy can be imparted to the students there, right? And that's humbling for me, right? And I know it's humbling, but board members may or may not have that, plus they're trying to deal with Latin stuff, and they're trying to do with history and omnibus and Bible and trying to bring all this together in school culture and the house system. We need to do that house system. I like that. So you have to do all this. What do you need to go to? Well, you need something you can point your teachers in, that training. And now, this is not the only, but this is an ACCS-friendly, ACCS-minded, theologically rich, I believe, a course. So we're coming to a close here. I would like to folk dance a little bit with you. This is our group last year, though. We had 12 students from all over the country. The guy who literally wrote the book on Kodai in a southern part of the United States is Lamar Robertson. We were able to do a demo class with the children there, and it's housed by New St. Andrews College. The folks there, they put the students up in houses. You don't have to live in dorms like you do at a lot of the universities. You don't have to put up with teenage, you know, students that are showing up in, you know, pajama cutoffs, you know, and here you are, a 40-something-year-old, you know, professional teacher, you know, and coming across the country. They fed us meals. They really were hospitable. And we'll go level one and level two. Kodai instruction usually is level one, level two, and level three. And we'll do that, and you get to have stuff in psalm singing and sacred music work and all of the rigorous Kodai instruction. And Kodai instruction is not just so me songs and games, but you get to see how to teach, how to sequence your lesson, how to go in classroom management, oh, how to use a tuning fork, how to step away from a piano, how to get them to sing. I don't want them to parrot back to me, right? I don't want to go like, here's your part. You know, Polly wanna do re mi? You know, I mean, you don't do that. That's what we're doing. We say, all right, you've got to interhear it. You've got to see it on the page and sing it. I've put the intonation on them appropriately, right? And so the training does that. You get to see teachers do that who are maybe a few steps down the road ahead of you. If you can't do that, because we can't all do it, I couldn't do it for several years. There's workshops that you can attend. There's Kodai chapters all across the U.S. You just may have to hold your nose on some things, you know, that they may think. You might go, oh yeah, Bach, he was great and all that good stuff, but never understanding why was Bach great. Why would he write a sign of the cross and, you know, B minor mass on the word crucifixus, right? Well, because he read his Bible. Never you mind that. All right, here we go, you know, freedom for all. Shh. You know, you have to hold your nose on some of that stuff, but if that's all you got, that's all you got. And you may have good teachers that you can say, that's what we can do, and they can hold their nose, and I trust them, they're grounded. But if you need the extra caffeination of the Chennai Institute at New St. Andrews, it's teacher training for you. It's because we need literacy, and we are ripe for it, right? Truth, goodness, and beauty, in that order. We've got truth. We've done work. There's wonderful stalwarts that walk the halls and stand before the podiums at these plenaries. Goodness, amen. We're working on it. We've mining the depths there. We've not arrived, but beauty, we are juvenile. We've not done the work there, and we need to. We are poised for it. This association, Christians who are classically trained, who understand the beauty of that, and that's why I put before you the Chennai Institute. That's why we started it, because the world didn't need another Kodai course, because there's plenty of them, and they've got more funding, and they're easier to get to. But if you can do this, or you can recommend it as a board for your, or you can say, this is our 5-year plan to hire a Kodai teacher, or to hire a Suzuki teacher, or hire a Kodai person that's willing to, on the side, in their abundance of free time, kind of come alongside with literacy as the goal, not just we must get concerts, we must do concerts, we must, you know, because yes, it's there and it's gone, right? It's our temporal art. You know, a painting is there, it's locked in time, but our stuff is gone. But literacy, they may be able to read and sing all their days, maybe church worshipers. So we do music. If you want to move a little bit, it's not all this, it's crazy, it's fun. I would love to have you folk dance with me. So maybe 10 or so of you. I'd love to do a couple of long ways sets here. If you're bold and willing to try, come forward. You can sit right there and make sure those chairs don't leave the rest of you. But if we could just do 2 long ways sets. If you're a gentleman, I would like you to partner with the lady, and I would like you to, you know, let's do it this way. We have a gentleman here and a lady here facing each other, 7 couples if we need it, and then a lady here facing and a gentleman here. We're going to go back and do a little kings and queens dance here because we're trying to change the culture. This is from the New England Dancing Masters. We have some of these at the booth. You know, I always say, what do you have in music and in the world? You know, Sleep In, you don't rest well there, right? Banana Republic, they don't sell bananas, right? People's Republic of Congo, that is not a republic. That's a communist country, right? Well, dancing in high schools and prom, right? That's standing there like that, gyrating, or standing there like logs, touching inappropriately. This is folk dancing. This teaches form. And you know what? This is what's great about Kodai, is you do first, you understand second, right? So we're going to do, and the kids don't need to know, I think we learned the rondo form in this dance. They don't need to know that, right? They can learn that later. They just need to have fun, and you need the equity with them so you can lean on them to sing tunefully, your guys and whatever. All right, so this is something called, not the heel toe polka, Kings and Queens, if we can get it to go. So you see how we have a top couple, which you all have been, you know, chosen. We have four couples, that's fine. So the first thing we're going to do, this is from a book called Alabama Gal, GIA Publications. This is the Amadons, the New England Dancing Masters. They give you a DVD in the back, which I left mine in Monroe. They give you a CD of the recordings. They walk you through a lot of these go-tos in your classroom. Do you do this all your class? No, but when you need points of high concentration and points of low concentration, and this is a great resource to get these kids eating out of your hands. These junior high kids that didn't have you in elementary that think you're the best thing since sliced bread. Right? They're just kind of still waiting, right? So at the end of your choral rehearsal, like I'm about to do here, let's dance, right? So here we go. The first thing you're going to do, everything is with the form. You are going to, as a line, you're going to forward and back for eight counts. So you're going to go forward, two, three, stop, back, two, three, and then you're going to do a right hand palm to palm turn clockwise. Right, two, three, four, back. Well, it is a component. The Virginia reel is, yes, but we will not be stripping the willow like you do in Virginia reel. I did this so you wouldn't have to break a sweat and get back down to the next session. But this is a very regal and stately one. But yes, Virginia reel is a long way set. It's a contra dance like this, but this is a lot simpler. And this is more age appropriate for the younger ones. All right, so you've done right hand palm, then you do a left hand palm. Ready? Left, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Now, just like in the Virginia reel, as good Cajun folk, we have sashay, sideways gallop. The head couple's going to eight counts down, sideways gallop, where the gentleman offers his hand to the ladies, and then you sashay down for eight and come back up for eight. Yep. And if you don't make it all the way down, you just go for eight and you come back. That's really all you need to do. Now, what you get to do when you come back, this is called Kings and Queens, as you can see. You are going to have your handy hand, which is your inside hand. You are like, we come from Louisiana, there's Mardi Gras balls, you know. And so you promenade down taking your time down the set. You just walk down the inside. And they just bow to you as you pass, like it would be a nice promenade or a ball, right? And then you would stay down there. You know what? I skipped a step. Come back to me. How many times have I done this dance? Probably 42. But what I do is, I don't trust myself to do it from memory, and then I read over the part, so I should have trusted myself to memory. But after you did the left-hand turn, you do something that the kids love. It's called a gypsy. It's where you just eye-to-eye revolve around, your eyes are locked, right? It's like, I'm watching you, you know. So try that for me. It's a gypsy. Your hands are clear so that you don't elbow. So gypsy, you're just eye-to-eye, and you revolve around back to your spot.
Clockwise.
Yes, clockwise, that's right. Your eyes are on the whole time. Yeah. Yeah, it is hard. And the kids are a little freaked out at first. But I challenge you. I wish I should have told you all. Oh, some of you are videoing. Every face has smiled at some point in this activity. And we haven't even done it to the music yet, right? The kids are like, I don't want to do this. You know, Miss Richard, can we dance today? Oh, I don't want to do it. In fact, my kids in the class have an ostinato that they tap. They go, Mr. Richie, can we dance? I said, we have to go through this. And so they will just go, because they want to. And what am I going to do? No, you may have a stone at the end of class. No, we'll give you the bread of movement. So that's what we've kind of done. But let's see. And then you would do the Kings and Queens promenade. And then we have a new head couple. So why don't you go ahead and we're going to actually do the dance here, because I'm running out of time. I've got like 1 minute. I'm happy to talk with you all more. We can talk at the booth. And there's a discussion, I think, in Winchester. A music discussion, so please come talk to me. Tell me you mispronounced Kodai, and I'll say probably. Or tell me your Bush impression is weak. But let's visit. I would love to talk with you and hear what you're doing. So here's Kings and Queens. Listen, I'll call it for you. Oh, stop that. Come back. All right, here we go. And forward, two, three, stop. Back, two, three, right hand. Right, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Left hand, left, two, three, four. All with the music, nothing ruckus. Gypsy, gypsy, yeah. Now, head couple, sashay, sashay. Two, three, four, five, six, and come on, not yet. Back, two, three, four, five, six. Now you get to promenade and you get to acknowledge them, right? And then you'd step on down and we would do forward and back, and we'll start it because we have to stop there. But here we go, forward and back. And forward, two, three, stop, back, two, three. All right, that's all we have time for, I wish. But yes, give him a hand. Yeah, very good. Okay, so like I said, a couple things here. If you need information, these are not the end-all be-alls, but at the Conservatory NSA book, there's a book and a DVD that kind of helps tease this out. There's also an ACCS music group on Facebook. Find us on there. We are an odd bird group of folks there, and you can search for ACCS music, and we just discuss and these resources and so forth. Yes. Down just behind us in a smaller room.
Yeah, even if you can't be there, would you come find me? Because I have a survey to give you. I'm going to try to help us talk more. And if you want to stay in the Winchester room, we can talk about the organization Kodai Educators. That's a website that you might want to look on. I'm a Kodai teacher too. I'm from Tulsa. I've been Kodai 35 years. So anyway, let's talk and see how we can help each other.
That's right. Well, not to this level. Hopefully you will take a different path. There's a lot of caffeine here. You want to have principles that we can agree on. Methods, we may differ. So I don't want it to sound like that. But thank you so much for coming.